Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I don't have a lot of time, so I got to make it quick. So I completed the complete RFI, put all my responses in today, and I put them on the Wireless Estimator website, which is the links on wadeforwireless.com, and you can go there. This blog post is OSHA RFI response for suitability. So that's all I'm going to answer today. I'm going to put two questions in here just so you know what I put there. And if you didn't do it yet, you should really respond. But it looks like the response is tremendous. It looks like everyone's giving their 2 cents worth, which is great. So today's April 25th, and I just got to upload it this morning. So with all that said, I put my comments out there. You can look up my answers on there. You can either search Wade for Wireless or Wade Sarver, but they're there. They should be. If you have any problems, just let me know, because I really made an effort to get everything in there in a timely manner, and I think I got everything the way I wanted. If I didn't, I'll just clean them up, because on Wireless Estimator, you can go back in and clean up your answers, or at least put new answers in. So with all that said, let me get right to it. So there's a section in the RFP called suitability for work. Suitability for work. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that people are basically healthy out there. So the question here is, are employees directly engaged in tower work assessed for physical fitness? If so, how? Are physical fitness requirements and assessments addressed in contracting agreements? Well, for one thing, the Disabilities Act. I knew a tower climber that got in a lot of trouble because he didn't have his offices where the tower crews worked handicap accessible. So OSHA, you might want to find balance there. So on one hand, you're going to tell them they have to make the entire building handicap accessible, which, you know, for tower crews, they don't have a lot of money. And on the other hand, now you're telling them they have to hire someone, they have to discriminate to hire someone for tower climbing. So I'm just pointing this out. This is a point of contention. You build a new office, you have to have all these regulations, and it's a little crazy. Well, anyway, with all that said, so physical fitness, it is a big deal. You want someone that's, you know, somewhat healthy. However, with that said, most people don't care. If you're willing to climb a tower, if you weigh 300 pounds and you can haul your fat butt up the tower, they're going to just take you, right? So, and also with that said, I know a lot of big guys that are pretty good climbers. They know what they're doing. They're good at rigging. Do they enjoy climbing? No. Do they sweat their butts off? Yeah, they do. But it's just one of those things. So in many cases, no. I mean, the best you can hope for is that they pass a drug test. There's no physical that I'm aware of, unless, you know, it's a requirement for, unless they have to get a CDL license to drive the bigger trucks. Then you have a physical fitness test for that. I don't know if any of you guys got CDL licenses, but when I got mine, you didn't just go and take the test and get your CDL. You had to get a physical, and you get a drug test, and they want to make sure your blood pressure is okay. They check your eyesight. It's not something you just do in a few minutes. You know what I mean? It's something you plan and have to do. And I didn't get the air brake assessment or anything. I just got the CDL for driving a heavy straight truck. So with all that said, I know I'm getting way off on a tangent, but my point is, no, if you can climb, most times they'll just hire you. That's really all that's required. Have guys had heart attacks on the tower? I've heard they have, and I heard there was one just last year where a guy had a heart attack and he was able to lower himself down. What are you going to do? You could have a heart attack anywhere. In all honesty, it's just something that could happen. So with that said, not that I'm aware of. If you're healthy enough to climb and you got the strength to do it, usually you're hired, okay? And in all honesty, when I hired kids or guys, when you hire people, if they're able to climb, that's all you look for. You're not looking to run the marathon here or anything. So I think it would be a good idea if you had a physical of some type. I mean, most guys, if they pass a drug test, you're ahead of the game. All right, I'll get I know I'm preaching here, sorry. I'll get on to the next one. So the next one is, what they're asking for is, I'm going to read it. What physical limitations should employers be aware of when assigning an employee communication tower work? What hazards might be associated with such limitations? How could these hazards be mitigated? Well, obviously, you know, you have to have your strength, your sight, your hearing. You have to be somewhat alert. And in all honesty, the physical limitations, are if when you go climbing towers, you either do it or you don't, right? And you can physically do it or you physically can't. If someone hires, and I'm going to expand this in a minute, but if someone hires someone who can't physically do it, they can't do their job. They're not going to last long. You understand what I'm saying? So what hazards might be assessed with this? If someone's so out of shape, they can't make a 200 or 300 foot climb, they shouldn't be on the tower. And I don't think they'd hire them because they can't do their job. As a ground guy, maybe, but if you're counting on that ground guy to do a rescue, no. So obviously I put the basic answer in, you know, it's a physical job requiring strength, sight, hearing, and common sense. And, you know, I'm going to get into that in a minute. The common sense part's what's really important. If an employee is short any of these qualities and the danger to the person and his workmates, then he is a danger. You know, I got to learn to write better. Then there is danger, a read. I got to learn to read, fellas. So there is danger to the person and the workmates. But if the physical parts are intact and the common sense can be taught through apprenticeship and experience. Now, you know what they don't ask for here? They don't ask for two or three things. I'm going to say three, but I only count two in my head, but I'll come up with a third. First, common sense, right? Does the climber have enough common sense to do the job? I know a lot of you are probably out there, you think that's silly. There's a lot of idiots out there, okay? Not just in this job, in any job. I know you guys know morons, right? I've seen a lot of stupid things that are just stupid. Now, if you're panicked and it's an emergency situation, it happens, right? But the reality is, common sense plays a big part. So, your mentality. And I'm not talking about book smarts here. I'm just talking about somebody that can work with tools, work with their hands, and figure things out. It's almost like figuring a puzzle out sometimes when you're doing tower work and putting stuff together. And if you look, I can't remember his name, but I saw some videos online where the guy looked at a tower that was built, and it was built wrong. He put the wrong sections in, and people just do stupid things. They can't follow instructions, or they can't figure it out. And a lot of times when you're out at a tower site, you have to figure stuff out. You don't have instructions, paperwork gets messed up, or some, you know, things like that happen. You have to figure a lot of stuff out. The other thing that helps, after you've done one, two, or three, then you have some experience. That's why it's nice to work with an experienced guy out there. If you're building a tower for the first time, it is, and in the old days they did this, I don't know if they do it anymore, but they used to have a manufacturer's rep from the tower company come out and walk you through it. And until that guy felt comfortable, he would come out on every tower you built. Why does that matter? You want it built right. If you're given a pile of steel and you have to put that steel together to make a tower, you want it put together right. You'd be surprised how many guys wing it. They just drill the holes in. When you put up cross members and legs, the holes are there for a specific reason. So if you screwed something up, everything's off, right? And guys do it all the time. I once knew a guy that built towers. He was so nervous about his guys pouring the foundation properly. You have a template when you do the foundation, usually for the legs, where you put the tower in. Or if it's a smaller tower, it's a template, and that's what you put on the foundation after, you know, after the concrete's poured. So if you do that wrong from the first step, you got to do two things. Either take the foundation out, which nobody wants to do, but the foundation is put in a certain way. The tower faces a certain direction based on wind loading and things like that. You have to follow a process. If the guys are in the field and they don't care, they don't care. They put it in, it fits. It doesn't fit. We'll drill a few holes. What's the big deal? They're designed that way for a purpose. I know I'm getting off on a tangent. So my point is, you got to have common sense. You got to be able to follow instructions. Two things. The third thing is, lost my train of thought here. Oh, the third thing is, you have to be able to sit back and not only figure things out, but have some patience with the stuff you're working on. A lot of times these guys get out there and they're in a hurry. And granted, we all blame schedules, right? But sometimes you have to sit back and think about what you're doing. So it's common sense, it's being able to figure it out, and it's patience. Those are all things that are an issue when you're working at a tower site. And those are the things they don't ask about here. And the other thing they don't ask about are like depression. Are guys mentally fit to do this job? This is a job where you travel a lot, right? You're always traveling. You're always on the road. You're putting up, you have a lot of stress. If the workmates don't get along, you have more stress, okay? These are all issues when you're working at a tower site. You may not think so, but I almost overlooked it myself. But the emotional sustainability of the tower climber is a real issue. The long times away from home wear some people down. Some people like it. Some people can deal with it. Other people can't. I traveled a lot. It wore me out. I just got exhausted, right? That's what happens with some people. So my point is, you got to look beyond the physical limitations of the climber. You got to know that they're able to do it. And I lost a lot of climbers because they just couldn't take the travel schedule when I hired guys, when I was building crews. A lot of guys came and went. They couldn't handle the travel. They couldn't handle the work. And some guys just didn't get along with the crews. Some guys are just jerks. You know what I mean? Some guys think they know it all when they don't. Some guys want to be boss. You know that guy? You know that guy that gets out there and he wants to be boss, whether he knows what he's doing or not? I worked with a lot of those guys. I worked with a lot of guys that I tried to give advice and they said, "You're telling me I don't know how to do my job." I said, "No, I'm just trying to help you." There is a difference. We have to work together as a team. A lot of guys are not team members. They want to call the shots. They want to be the big boss. Hey, that's fine if you know what you're doing. But the minute someone gets hurt, they're quick to blame. Well, he shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know what? It's too late then. So I think what you got to look at, and there are other questions in there about the travel and so on. You know, I have two questions here, but I'm just making a point that the emotional sustainability of the employees is very important. The common sense value of the tower climber is very important. And just being able to figure things out. And hey, I'm not perfect. I can't figure everything out. I got to follow instructions. I have trouble putting some instructions together. You know what I mean? And now with the way schedules are and the way the prices are, a lot of tower manufacturers don't want to send anybody out. As a matter of fact, that's a real problem in a lot of these construction jobs. Nobody wants to commit to anything. And it goes all the way back to all these companies. Nobody wants to be liable for anything. Nobody. It's very frustrating. So the manufacturer doesn't send somebody out, so they let the tower crew figure it out themselves. The tower comes down and then the manufacturer says, "Well, they didn't build it right." And they're like, "Well, we wanted help. You wouldn't help us." Oh, that doesn't matter in a lawsuit, in a court. That doesn't matter in court. In court, what matters is the guy in the front line. That's the guy they blame. It's just very frustrating. It's a vicious circle. It's more than that. You know, it's the same with schedules. It's the same with deployment. You have these guys out there doing all they can to get the job done. And if something goes wrong, you know, you have all the way from the end customer saying, "Oh, well, you know, we just told him to do the job and we hired this contractor." And this contractor says, "We told him to be safe." And then you have this contractor that says, "We told him to be really, really safe." Meanwhile, whether they did or didn't check for certs, and I get it. I talked to one of the tower companies that owns towers. You know, you have several. And I asked them, I said, "Why don't you try to keep up with the certs?" They go, "Well, we do when we renew. But when you're talking, you know, all these towers we have, thousands and thousands of towers, and then 5 to 10 times as many crews, it's hard to manage all that." And I get it. It's a real hassle. So we got to think where to put the responsibility. And it's always on the end guy. So, and maybe it should be. So I think when Nate comes out with these training standards, that'll be a good thing. And I also think that I think that what we're going to have to do is have the customer, the end customer, in a lot of cases, the carriers are going to have safety audits. They're going to have to build the money in the budget. They're going to have to go around and make sure that everyone's following the proper safety procedures. They should ask for the safety plan. They should ask for a rescue plan, or they should define it. That would weed out a lot of people right there. Define it. You will have rescue equipment on there. You will have a first aid kit, a trauma kit, whatever it takes. So, all right. Hey, guys, tell me what you think. Give me some feedback. I always want to hear what you have to say. And trust me, I hear good and bad. I can take it. I'm a grown-up. All right, everyone. Be smart. Be safe. Pay attention. And remember, it's better to make a plan and then change a plan than to have no plan at all, okay? Because we can always adapt, improvise, and overcome. See ya.